Last week, I talked about this idea of God's faithfulness. We know that the Lord is faithful through all generations. He was faithful in the past, He is faithful in the present, and He will continue to be faithful in the future. But today, I would like to talk about this topic that you don't hear a lot in our churches. In churches, we love to talk about God's love and grace and mercy, don't we? But we neglect a very important aspect of God, and that is His wrath. Nobody wants to talk about wrath and judgment. You see, God tells us who He is in the Scripture. He tells us about His attributes, His character, who God is. If we want to know who God is, we go through a Scripture, because through a Scripture, He has revealed Himself to us so that you and I get to understand God better. You see, you and I might be familiar with some of God's qualities or characteristics. Scholars call those things attributes. For instance, we know about love, that God is holy, that He's sovereign, which means He's above and beyond our comprehension, that, you know, there's nobody else above Him. That's what it means, that He's sovereign, that He's in control. We know about those things, that His grace. We love to talk about His grace. You know, He always gives us something that we do not deserve, mercy. Last week, I talked about His faithfulness. And you see, He is faithful not dependent upon what I think about Him. He is faithful because that's who He is. He is good because that's who He is. But also, one of the things that you and I need to remember is that God is just. His justice. You see, some people love to talk about, like I said, just certain qualities, and the other ones we just want to, like, leave it for later. You know, but in order for us to be true, you know, in our message, the Bible talks about that we need to preach the whole counsel of God. So we need to understand who He is. We need to bring to people the knowledge of God so that they get to understand, so that you don't just get some qualities of Him and not others, so that you get a full picture of who God is, and that's what we find in Scripture. Like I said, we love to talk about love, grace, mercy, but we don't want to hear about His justice. How about His wrath? I mean, the Bible talks about God as consuming fire. God's in His judgment. And see, you and I need to understand, we cannot think that God is just love and not wrath. God cannot just be, for instance, God cannot just be love and no wrath. Why? Because He will not be God then. For instance, if God is all good, that he loves good things, that means that He hates bad things. I mean, if He loves righteousness, if He loves justice, He has to hate injustice. So those two are part of His quality. That is who He is. So He cannot just be all loving without discipline. God cannot just be all loving without wrath, without His judgment. For God to love righteousness, He must also hate evil. For God to love what is good, He has to hate what is bad. And that's where the justice of God will come in. For Him to be just, that means He has to hate what is unjust. You see, all through Scripture, we read about God's righteous judgment. I mean, you can ask Noah, and why did God decide to wipe out humanity? Because wickedness, misbehaving, Sodom and Gomorrah, you hear about His wrath. In fact, there is a book in the Bible, maybe you haven't read it, it only has three chapters, it's called Zephaniah. It starts with the whole idea of God's judgment. Why is God pouring out His wrath on humanity? And most people know that there's a judgment coming. You know, it's like, but why does God want to judge the world? We're going to find out through the Scripture why. It's not because he wants to, but in His justice, evil, bad things must be punished. And if you don't know much about His wrath, let me just give you, I mean, we know this verse by memory, John 3:16, where you see God's love and His wrath in the same verse. Maybe you haven't realized. It says like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not, here it is, watch this, perish, but have eternal life. You know what the word perish means? So that whoever believes in him will not come under his wrath. So that whoever believes in him will not perish, be condemned, be damned, but have eternal life. One verse, and you see two aspects of God, his love and his wrath. So that whoever believes in him will not have to see this thing that I'm talking to you about, his wrath and his judgment. In the same chapter, in John 3:36, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. Check it out. But the wrath of God remains on him. Wow. So the aspects of God that you and I need to be familiar, yes, he's all love, but he's all justice. He's mercy, he's grace, but he's also wrath. He's a just God, and for him to be God, he needs to be all these things. Now, what is this thing that we talk about, the wrath of God? Because the Apostle Paul has a lengthy chapter in Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, and he talks about how God reveals his wrath all the way from heaven. Why is he angry? Why is God so mad with humanity? Well, the scripture would tell us why. So if you got your Bibles with you, go with me to Romans chapter 1. So we understand a little better this teaching, this concept of the wrath of God. Romans 1, 18 through 32, the Apostle Paul. And this is right after he talks about that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of anybody who believes, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Verse 18, I'm reading from the ESV. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, verse 24, therefore God gave him up in their lusts. And their hearts, and the lust of their hearts to impurity and to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave him up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those who are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to debased or depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. There's a lot in that portion of scripture. Paul addressed this topic in the letter to the Romans, and this is what he says. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The word reveal means disclose. It's made known from heaven. If it comes from heaven, it means that it's from God himself, because he is wrath. And it's almost like we try to tell people, you don't want to place yourself on the wrong side, on the wrong team. You want to be with him. Because, yeah, he's all loving, but he's also just. And if he loves good, he must hate bad. He cannot just be in between, like, you know, no, you gotta, Jesus one time said, you are either with me or you are against me. It's always two choices people had to make in here. So, it's revealed from heaven. In other words, it comes from God. It's part of who God is, his judgment. He's a just God. He's the God of justice. It's revealed, he says, against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth. Interesting, that word suppress the truth. It means that people, the truth of God, they retain it. They don't want it to get out. You're suppressing it. You're hindering it. You're detaining it. So God is angry with humanity because of their ungodliness, wickedness, sinful behavior. He's showing his anger all the way from heaven against people who act wickedly on earth, who break God's law, those who hinder the truth. It's interesting, Paul makes a beautiful argument because he says what is known about God is already plain because God has shown it to people. Scholars call this general revelation. And Paul talks about, go with me again to that verse. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived even since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So what is Paul talking about? The things that God created reveal to you and I who he is. For instance, when you look at a painting, what comes to your mind? For that painting to be there, there must be a painter. That painting did not just happen. You know, what they want to teach us in school, that it was just like an explosion and boom, all of a sudden. You know that gas doesn't create anything, and we still believe that and teach that, like this is a fact. And they're just deceiving us with some of the things they're teaching us. You know, explosions don't create things, just chaos, right? So, and look at the universe, and you see order and complexity, and even scholars and scientists, they're spellbound by galaxies because they say, you know, that thing is well organized. You know, I mean, there's no way that just happened. So, God's invisible attributes, they're already through creation. Just like when you look at a painting, you know there was a painting. You look at a building, you know there has to be an architect for that building. That building does not just happen. Somebody designed it, and somebody began to work on it. When you see a baby, did it just happen? Mom and dad had something to do with that. And that's the way it is. I mean, even through nature, you get to know God, and that's what Paul is saying. So people are without excuse when it comes to the knowledge of God because God already has placed things over there. So when people look at them, when they look at the ocean, and there's things in the oceans that you and I don't even know. We have not even gone deep enough yet to find out all the things so that we can be, wow, in the universe. We have this telescope, Hubble telescope, and you're paying, by the way, for that. With our taxes, we have this thing, and we look into the space, and like we just like, wow, we look at things that our minds cannot even comprehend, like Louis was talking about today. And God placed all those things out there. So Paul is saying, he's telling you who he is. He's telling you how great he is, because look at how diverse God created the whole universe, and everything has order. The trees are always rooted in the ground. I mean, why is it that you don't see a tree with a root up? And because there's order in the universe. And somebody made that to happen like that. Our bodies are so complex. Somebody said if they were to stretch out our DNA, it will go all the way from here to the moon. Scientists talking about that. It's like, oh my word. I mean, we are wonderfully fashioned by majesty. And Paul's argument is that God already told you who he is, but you do not want to acknowledge him. You know, there's a galaxy, the scientists now call it the Great Design. You wonder why? Because it's like so well organized. They don't want to say, oh, there's an intelligent mind out there. We know it's God, the Creator. So he has revealed himself through nature. The word reveal means that he has manifested himself. God is evident in what we see. We can see about his unseen qualities in what we see in nature itself. The mountains. You know, there are people today, they worship Mother Nature. Mother Nature has a daddy. His name is Yahweh, the Lord. And so he made those things for us, and we get to know him. What is known about God is plain, evident, manifest, because God has made it evident to them. This is what we know as God's general revelation, how God revealed himself through creation. So in other words, God placed, like almost, if you will, previews of who he is, like qualities of who he is in what we see in nature. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived even since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So people are without excuse when it comes to knowing God. You see, people can have a knowledge of God by observing creation. Like I said, just like when you look at a painting, you know somebody must have painted it. There's evidence, and you see the writers of the Old Testament understood this perfectly. David, in Psalm 91, 1 and 2, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens are telling you the glory of God. In other words, the heavens are telling you how glorious God is, how powerful, how huge he is. Because the universe, we live in something called the Milky Way galaxy. And scientists now are saying there's like huge, baddest universe out there. You know what I mean? And it's like that you and I cannot even go. I mean, you need like light years to be able to go through all those places. And now we can know because we have looked into something out there. David says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. It's almost like they're telling you something about God. You know what they're telling you? How huge God is, how great he is, how magnificent. Oh Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, the psalm writes. Looking at the skies. And you know, Chris Tomlin has a song, you place the stars in the sky and you know each by name. You and I only know him by stars. There's billions, trillions of stars and God knows them each. You remember the Bible talks about not even a flower falls to the ground without him knowing? I mean, that's knowledge, man. God knows. And you and I can get to know him by observing creation. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 says, when I look at the heavens, this is David writing, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. When I look at the stars, the sun, and you and I got to be grateful that we are like 300 million miles away from the sun. And scientists said that if we were like inches to the left or to the right, life would be impossible on Earth. And you think that just came by a Big Bang? I mean, God organized that amazingly. That's the only planet that people, you and I can live. The earth, and because of the rotation that he has around the sun, it's like amazing. Who did that? Our creator, the creator. So his wrath is made known from heaven, because even though he showed you knowledge, he showed you how you can know him, because his attributes are evident. You know why God is angry with people? Because they do not acknowledge him as God. They say something else. They do not acknowledge him or honor him. Look at verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. Why is the wrath of God revealed from heaven? Because people did not acknowledge him as God. They have exchanged what God has given them for something else. It says people have become futile in their thinking. Their understanding is darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of God for images resembling man. You see, Paul is talking about how stupid it is to worship a creation, to worship a creature rather than the one who created it. And you and I know so many people that they just worship images. We invent things and we worship those idols and things rather than worshiping the Creator. And that's one of the reasons God's so mad with humanity. I gave you evidence to get to know me, and you decided just to worship the trees and other things rather than worshiping the one who created those trees. You know how messed up that thinking is? Think about how foolish it is to worship something you made instead of worshiping the one who made you, the Creator. And this is what Paul is, that's how their minds became futile and darkened in the understanding. Look at verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in their lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. You wonder why God is mad. So I'm giving you evidence. You can get to know me, but rather you want to know the trees and things, and you worship those things when I'm the one who created them. And you're exchanging my truth for a lie. So in other words, you don't want people to get to know the truth. You want to suppress it. You want to detain it. When the Bible talks about, and that phrase appears like three times in our text, God gave him up to their lust of their hearts. You know what it is? That phrase is like Burger King model. Have it your way. God told people, that's the route you want to go? That's where you want to do? Okay, have it your way. Later on, I'm going to have my way. And that's where the whole wrath is going to come. So God led them do whatever they wanted, whatever their passions and desires of their hearts they wanted to engage in. He led them. He abandoned them. Some modern translation would say God abandoned them in their lust to do whatever they wanted to do. Since they dishonored their body among themselves, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served creatures rather than the Creator. God is just in pouring out His wrath on humanity because we have worshipped the creation, and we're still worshiping the creation, rather than the Creator. Look at verse 26. For this reason, God gave him up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchanged natural relations for those who are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed in passions for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty to their error. God gave him up to dishonorable passions. Now, like I said, a lot of people don't want to hear what the Bible talks about, this area right here. Because we live in a society that, they tell you, well, it's if you love each other, it's okay. As long as you love each other, it's okay. But look, Paul talks about here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, how women exchange natural relations with men for other women. And that's called, that relationship, women with women, men with men, goes against nature. Regardless of what society wants to tell you today, what does the Bible think about homosexuality? Same sex is not supported by Scripture. In fact, that's anti-nature. Paul talks about. And God is mad with humanity because of that. They're exchanging God's pattern. God gave, from the beginning, a man and a woman. And now society says it's okay to men and men, women with women. Not on God's watch. That's not okay. According to what the Bible talks about. Look what Paul says. And that comes from a depraved, a base mind. Women exchange the natural relations for those who are contrary to nature, according to what the Bible talks about. Men gave up natural relations with women for unnatural relations with other men. They committed shameless acts. That's how the Bible described that. With men and received in themselves the penalty of their error. And you wonder, you and I wonder why God's wrath will come on earth or in society. Because God already gave us a pattern from the beginning. Jesus even talks about from the beginning, he created them male and female. For this reason, a man should leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And now society say, oh, no, it's okay. You know, the Bible's old fashioned. It's evolving. You can change it. Society can arrest me if they want me to change that. You know, that preaching, I'm never going to change I'm going to go with what the Bible says in this one.
Amen.
Because his wrath is poured out from heaven because of all these things that are going on. I have friends that they already tell you, you know, I'm not speaking as if I don't have families that, you know, they know that I love them, but they know that loving doesn't mean that I'm going to accept your behavior. I love you, but I disagree with how you live. Because love is not acceptance. Love disciplines. Love tells you, I love you, but maybe we need to be a little far away from one another. The Bible says that God, those who love, he loves, he disciplines. So the wrath of God, I mean, look at all these things Paul is talking about. It's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness and wickedness of men, because they have suppressed the truth of God. God already told them, you can know me, but no, they don't want to know God. God already told you, I have a truth. No, they want the lie. God said, this is the pattern. He said, no, I want it my way. And God said, okay, have it your way for now. But his wrath is poured out. Paul talks about his coming. You know in the Old Testament how God poured out his wrath on people. Even his own children, when they committed shameless acts, when they went against God. At one time they ended up in a place called Babylon. His own people, God disciplined them because they misbehaved. Because they decided to go with wickedness. They decided to worship idols. When God had told them, even one of the first commandments, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make yourself an image. But people wanted to worship the image rather than the one who created everything. God pours out his wrath on people because of the wickedness and sinful behavior. And you know, a lot of times in our society, they say, oh, don't call that sin. That's exactly what the Bible calls it. And there's so many other sins out there, you know. Wherever we go, I mean, you're going to see a whole list that he's going to give us in this text. That's not just that. There are many other things. And God's wrath is poured out from heaven because people have gone their own way. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. You see, my friends, when people refuse to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to do whatever they want. You see, I used to struggle with this phrase in the Bible when it says that the Lord hardens somebody's heart. And I was doing some more research, and I discovered when God hardens your hearts, it's because he's about to punish you. You know, the people that you tell them about God, and they're so hard. And I was like, I had to pray for them because I realized they're... Let me give an example. Pharaoh. Remember, Yahweh told Moses, go get my people. But Pharaoh would not let you go. He said, I get mad, but I'm going to make him more angry. I'm going to harden his heart. Why? So I can show him my wonders. 10 plagues on Egypt because of Pharaoh. He hardened his heart, and Yahweh just came. You see, the Egyptians have a God for everything, for the river, for the harvest. They had a God for everything, and Yahweh came and said, where are your gods? I'm going to show you who the true God is. And he came with 10 plagues that the Egyptians could not stop. And he hardened the heart of Pharaoh because he was already hardened. So, says right there, even though they did not see fit to acknowledge God, he gave him up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. When people refuse to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking. God let them do what they, you know, foolish mind wants to do. And they want to be angry at God, he makes them angry because then punishment will come. The Pharisees, Jesus told them at one time, because they were so close to committing the unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They hardened their hearts so much against Jesus. It's almost like when somebody's in that state, in that state of mind, it's almost like no turning back. It doesn't matter what you tell them because their mind is so depraved, they don't hear God at all. God led them. Because at the end of the day, then judgment for those people is...
imminent. Look at verse 29 through following. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy. You see the list? Like I said, the list is just huge. It's not just like same-sex relationships in here. But look at also why God is mad at humanity. They are filled because of their depraved mind. They are filled with all manners of unrighteousness. The word unrighteousness is another word for injustice. So righteousness is justice. Unrighteousness is injustice. So anything else that you know, like manipulating and, you know, distortionist, all that stuff is anti-God. So he says, they will fill all manners of unrighteousness and covetousness, malice. They are full with envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips and slanderers. You see, all this list made it, you know, they are together right there because those things are against God and His nature. And He says, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Amazing, like people still inventing how they can just damage or harm somebody else. Disobedient to parents, even that made it there. Kids. Even disobedient to parents, that's against God. Why? The fourth commandment said, honor your mother and your father so that you will have long life. Because God is so serious about that. There's so many people, so many kids in the Old Testament did not make it to the promised land because they disobeyed mom and dad. Because mom and dad put you here on earth through, God put you here on earth through them. And now it's almost like when you rebel against them, it is as though you're rebelling against God. Well, and now hear me out, even though you might not agree with mom and dad and how they do things, but this is God's pattern. Mom and dad gave you life. And they appear in this list too. Disobedient to parents. I mean, you see that in our society today. There's a show, Help, I don't know what to do with my teenager. I mean, in more shows like that, it's like, oh my word, where are we going? And you wonder why that is? Because we have rejected God's truth. We want to do it our own way. And God just say, okay, well, you're ready to hear me, I'm here. But because He gave us free will, He let you do those things. But God always set up, like, do right and you be blessed. You go the opposite way, curse, wrath. Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And check out verse 32. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they do not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. It's not just to do them, but when you approve of people when they are doing those things, it's very much the same thing, according to what God is already saying. And you and I wonder why His judgment is coming. You and I wonder why the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness of man and wickedness. Because they don't want to hear the truth of God. Or just preach to us about grace, mercy, and grace. We love that. Somebody said, if you only preach what you love about the Bible, maybe the only books you will keep in the Bible will be Psalms and Proverbs. And maybe Song of Solomon. But everybody, all the other prophets, watch, there's always some kind of judgment in there. There's hope and judgment. There's blessings and there's curses. And it's up to you and I which route we're going to take. It goes back to the whole matrix thing. The blue pill or the red pill. And you're going to just say, like, but I just want to be in. No. There's only two pills in here. There's only two ways. Jesus talked, there's the narrow gate and there's the wide. You know, there's the righteous, there's the unrighteous. And God is a righteous God, and He expects His people to behave in a righteous way. Even though they knew God's decree that those who practice, you notice that all those things are practices. Those who do those things deserve to die. And the word for death there, it's not just physical death, but spiritually, total separation from God. The Bible calls the second death hell in the book of Revelation. You know, everything anti-God will go there. God is just in pouring out His wrath on people who do not recognize Him as God. People who exchange His truth for a lie. Those who exchange God's standard for their own because they want to satisfy their own desires. God has always poured out His wrath on those who disobey His rules. God's wrath is His righteous judgment on those who refuse Him as God. It is His judgment on the wicked, those who practice things contrary to what He already ordained. That's why His wrath is coming. That's why He is just in punishing us when we go against His rule. His wrath is coming. In other words, judgment day is coming, and you and I do not know when. His wrath is revealed from heaven against all those who practice or approve of these wicked things. That's what Paul says. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men, people that suppress His truth. Just like He loves what is good, like I told you at the beginning, He hates what is evil. In order for Him to be God, He has to be like that. God doesn't change His mind. If something bothered Him in the Old Testament, still bother Him now. If He said that was sin back there, still sin today. Because God is not like us. He doesn't change. He doesn't change His mind. So if He started to change His mind, then you and I cannot trust Him. He would cease to be God. He hates what is evil and wicked. Judgment day is coming. And you and I do not know when that will be. Now let me give you. I know when that will happen for you and I. If you and I were to die right now, there's no more preaching the gospel for you. You and I were to die without Christ. You know, you're already gonna be ready for the judgment, because there's no way for you to repent once death comes. So in other words, it is now that you and I need to make the decision to say, which side of heaven am I going to place myself in? Am I going to go with God or with Satan or with my own desires? So His judgment day is going to come one day. You want to know more about judgment day? Just read the book of Revelation. And you see all the how God poured out His wrath on humanity. And you wonder, why is God doing that? Because humanity rejected Him. Because humanity wanted to go His own way. The Bible calls that judgment day or the day of wrath. The book of Joel, chapter 2, it talks about the day of the Lord is coming. I had a gloomy day, and who can escape? I mean, all the way from the Old Testament, Peter also talks about the day of the Lord. And he talks about it will be like the days of Noah. Everybody else will be doing their own thing, and all of a sudden, boom, and it hits you. This is the eschatological thing that we talk about, the day of the Lord, judgment day, the wrath of God is poured out. Look at Revelation 6, 16 through 17. And he talks about His wrath here. In Revelation 6, 16 through 17, it says, then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free. I mean, very much this includes everyone, famous, rich, and poor, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who can withstand it? When you read that, if you don't have Christ, that's kind of like, this is like the scary part of the Bible right here. If you don't have, somebody said, Revelation is only scary if you're not in Christ. Sorry. Revelation is only scary if you're not in Christ. If that verse scares you, then get ready with Jesus, man. Because look at the panic of people. They wanted to commit suicide, and they won't be able to because they had to see the wrath of the Lamb. Paul talks about in Philippians 2, around verse 11, he says, that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. People that don't bow to Jesus today, they might have to see His face, and He's ticked. He's mad. He's coming. Revelation 19 is like a rider coming in the white horse. And his robe is stained with blood because he's been trampling on people. That's the wrath of God on humanity. Why? And yes, people might say, but why is God so mad? Because He already gave you and showed you the way, and you have refused to acknowledge Him as God. What else is there for you but the expectation of judgment? His wrath is imminent. It's going to come, and look in Revelation how generals, They won't be, the silver and gold won't be able to save them from the wrath of God. You won't be able to, you don't have enough money to escape from that. Hide us, he said, from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of God is the same as the wrath of the Lamb. Who can withstand it? You see, I've been telling you, it sounds like, oh, this is all bad news. But there's good news. You don't have to experience the wrath of God. There's a way that you can escape judgment day. And when you read all those passages, you know, like things happening in the world and asteroids coming to earth and all kinds of, you know, people dying, you don't have to panic. You don't have to worry. You know how? Because you don't have to do this. God is not going to do and judge people, those who have rejected him. So how can you escape it? How can you escape this awful day that will come to earth? There's only one answer. How can you escape it? Through Jesus. Believing in Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall not come under his wrath, will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is going to be the determining factor for you and I. Whether you're going to see God's favor at the end, or you're going to see his wrath. Jesus, because at the end of the day, God's going to ask you, what church do you go to? You know what he's going to ask you? What do you do with my son? Jesus is my grace revealed to you. Jesus is the solution for our problem. And what do you embrace him? Do you accept him? Those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Messiah will not experience the wrath of God. So you and I, if you're already, you are a believer in Christ, whatever gloomy scriptures we read about, judgment scriptures, you and I don't have to panic about that. You don't have to worry about that, because we do not come under his judgment. We come under his favor now. Amen?
Yeah.
All because Jesus made it possible. Do you know that at the cross, Jesus satisfied the demands of God. At that moment, you know, at the cross, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment, Jesus, the Son of God, came under God's wrath, and he paid for the penalty of your sins and my sins. He took my place so that I can now be a friend with God. I can now be in right standing with God. That's what Jesus has done, and he wants to do the same for you today. If you do not know him as Lord and Savior, do it today, because that day will come. In your lifetime, or even when you die. So before you die, prepare yourself, because his wrath is going to come. You see, at the end of the day, Jesus in Revelation 22 says, look, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to every man according to what he has done. I will give to every person according to what he has done, because at the end of the day, when Jesus Christ comes back, it will be the day of reckoning and judgment time. And you see that in Matthew, there's the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the weeds, the righteous and the unrighteous. And he will say to those in the righteous, come, blessed by my Father, because, you know, come and enjoy heavens that I prepared for you, because I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you evil doers, wicked people, I never knew you. Those ones that will be the ones that will experience his wrath. And they will not be able to escape. Like those people that they would fall on us, they might have to face the wrath of the Lamb, because they have rejected his son. They have rejected his standard. My friends, you and I, the Bible talks a lot about the wrath, but you and I don't have to panic, because we have given our lives to Christ. And he paid for a penalty of our sins. He pays so that you and I be in good standing with God. That's why John says, whoever has the Son has life. But whoever refuses the Son will not see life, because the wrath of God still remains on him. Man, that's scary for people that want to refuse Jesus. Those who refuse to believe in Jesus are already marked for judgment, because they're refusing to believe in the Son of God. His wrath is coming, and you and I have the opportunity to escape that. Some of us who believe in Jesus already escaped it. Paul, the same writer in the same book, chapter 8, he says, Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let me translate it for you. There's now no wrath, judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus paid for you and I.
Amen.
The wrath of God is real, my friends. It's real. He already has given us the standard by which we are to live. And He has given us Jesus by whom we are to be saved. He expects us to believe in Him so that we escape that judgment that is coming. Would you pray with me this morning?